Welcome to the podcast by Little Honey Money. Wellness, support, and wisdom for new motherhood in the modern world.
Hi, I'm Erica.
And I'm Joanna. And you're listening to the podcast by Little Honey Money, where we talk about all things wellness and support for new motherhood while growing our own tech baby called Little Honey Money. We've created a new kind of baby registry. We call it the Mother and Baby Registry, helping moms get exactly what they need when they need it. We'll be sharing a lot about that throughout our podcast.
On this podcast, you'll hear personal experiences and opinions that are not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. As always, seek advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you have regarding medical topics or otherwise relating to your own health. And although we try to keep it light, delicate subject matter does come up and may be triggering for some people. Having said that, we hope you enjoy our conversation and gain something positive from it.
And now, let's kick off today's episode.
Today, we have Katya Mosley joining us. She's a licensed acupuncturist and founder of Spirit Gate Acupuncture and Wellness in Los Angeles. And she's a mom with some incredible wisdom to share. We're excited you're here, Katya. Welcome.
Thank you so much for making time and for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're excited to dive in. We love to kick off every episode with asking, you know, where are you currently with your motherhood journey?
Yeah, I'd say that I'm in my most favorite season of motherhood so far. I have an 8 and 10 year old, 2 girls, and I've always heard that the best years of motherhood come between 4 and 10 years old. And it's when my kids personally, their personalities really kicked in and they've become so much more independent. And so often I feel like I'm just hanging out with friends, like hilarious, creative, high energy friends.
Yeah, that's goals.
So cool.
We're just having so much fun as a family. They have a really good memory. So they are like super into traditions and rituals and holidays because they remember all the stuff that we've been like building on each year. And so it's just been an incredible little stretch. And maybe that's also reflective of how like the first part of motherhood was much more challenging for me. So this has been a really good time. I'd also say that, you know, so I have my 2 girls, but I had 4 pregnancies, and 2 of the pregnancies didn't work out kind of later in the pregnancies around the second trimester for both. And there was a lot of pain and like heartache and obviously a lot of disappointment that went along with that. But I am so certain now that the 2 girls that I got are the 2 girls that I was meant to do this life with. And there's such a peace with that. Like there's no more longing for the pregnancies that didn't work out because I'm so happy. I mean, like that's such an understatement. I'm so thrilled with the girls that I got. And I know that they are my teachers and I am their teacher. And like, it is just exactly what was meant to be for me. And it took me a while to get to that place.
That's such a beautiful way to look at it.
Yeah, it took me a while for sure, but that's where I am now. And I think that's why I'm just at such peace with where I am in this stage of the journey.
And what is something that you do for yourself personally? Like a ritual or wellness practice, something that you do for you?
Where do I start?
Yes, let's hear it.
I think I learned the hard way again, just, you know, not making that time, not having those boundaries in the early part of motherhood, that I'm really intentional about doing things for me because I can see the benefit it has on my whole family. So, I mean, what I really have loved doing the last like year or two is playing tennis, and I could talk about it all day and all night. So I promise not to do that.
Let's play together.
I love the tennis court. I love what a metaphor playing tennis is for life. I'm really into that. I really try to have like a date night with myself and the bathtub once a week. Sometimes it's once every 2 weeks, but I really find that taking baths can be so simple, so available, and so calming.
So luxurious, I feel. Baths are like the ultimate luxury.
Oh, I love, I love an oily, salty bath. All the salts, all the oils, the candles. Yep. And yeah, it can really reset me.
That's amazing. And so what inspired your work in Chinese medicine? I'd love to hear like how you started your practice.
Yeah, it was more of like a surprise before it was a decision because it wasn't something that I was even familiar with. I came from a very kind of Western medical family background. And so I wasn't introduced to acupuncture until I was in my early 20s and my back was just feeling funny for a couple months. And it got quite serious at one point. I went to so many doctors and each one was just pumping me full of like muscle relaxers and painkillers. And I was like, there's got to be a better way, but it didn't even occur to me to see an acupuncturist. I was in physical therapy. I was seeing a chiropractor. My previous career was in marketing and I was working for a small woman-owned startup and I was just having so much fun with it, but not really taking great care of myself. And my boss at the time was like, well, why don't you try acupuncture? And honestly, I scheduled the appointment without even thinking twice because I did have a needle phobia and I got to the office and I was like, Oh, right. We're going to like use needles. It was so weird to me that it hadn't occurred to me, but I just was desperate for a solution and was open to whatever it was. And truly before I even met this acupuncturist, I had already felt like things were going to shift. I got to her office. She had probably like 6 pages of intake forms for me to fill out in the waiting room. And I was like, wait, someone is asking me questions that goes beyond like my L4, L5. She wanted to know about my menstrual cycle, about my sleep patterns, about my libido, about, you know, just all aspects of my health. And it blew my mind. So before I even met her, I was super into it. And then I met her, and this was in Washington, D.C., I met her. She was this woman probably in her 60s with long gray hair and was just aging so gracefully. And I just loved her whole vibe. And we talked for a long time. And then she started putting needles in my body, none of which were in my low back. And that blew my mind. I was like, wait, needles are in like...
Right, because you came in for the low back problem.
Yeah, I was like, wait, okay. Did you not hear me? Like, I'm here for my low back. But I couldn't really rest during that treatment. Like my wheels were just spinning and I was asking so many questions. And then it was pretty much after that session that I was like, I think that this is amazing. I felt so much better. I mean, maybe only like 20 or 30% better in my back, but that was the biggest improvement I'd experienced in months. And I just started pursuing it from that moment forward. So I went to Yosan University here in Venice, and I had a practice in women's health for many years. And it was only after kind of entering motherhood with my own journey that I realized that was the area I want to specialize in. So it went from like women's health, all issues from digestion to sleep and stress, to then really making my focus what I call the zero to the fourth trimester. Mm-hmm. So just very passionate about helping women to conceive and then supporting them all through their pregnancy. And then obviously in postpartum.
During my pregnancies, I did a lot of acupuncture. I mean, I had a great pregnancy both times, but there's discomforts. There's things that like come up where I'm like, oh, that's different or that's new. Or like, and literally every time I'd go to the acupuncturist and be like, okay, this week, like I'm feeling like heartburn or this week. And it's nothing that was debilitating to me, but it would actually help all of these discomforts. So it's amazing that there are practitioners like you to actually ease the discomforts during the journey. And I think that's amazing. And I want to ask you about something in particular, because we met you at our launch event earlier this year, and we had this event with the lovely Carson Meyer and Seeing the Moon, who
the loveliest.
Hosted it. Yes. And we were fortunate enough to have you there spoiling our guests as a wellness practitioner. And you were putting these little ear seeds on everybody that are actually like, they look like little jewels. They're beautiful. It looks like jewelry. But it also serves a benefit. Can you talk to us about those ear seeds and what it's all about?
I love talking about ear seeds. Yeah, that event was so fun. So the ear is a microcosm of the body, much like the palm. Like maybe you've walked by one of those manicure, pedicure salons that shows you like an image of the palm or an image of the sole of the foot. And there's like a liver and, you know, a stomach and lungs. So the ear is another one of these microcosms. And you can affect different systems on the body by just needling the ear. And ear seeds are a way to put pressure on those points. So think of it more as like acupressure on points that help to affect and balance different parts of the body. So all of the joints, all of the organs, all of the hormone system, the adrenals, all of that can be put back into balance by either needling those points on the ear, or in the case of ear seeds, by just having these beautiful little gold-plated balls that get attached. The ones that I use in my practice, they get attached with these non-latex stickers that you can barely detect. So it just looks like the gold little ball that's on very specific points on the ear. I call it acupuncture to go, right? Because you can have an experience when you're in your acupuncturist's office, and that's maybe once a week or twice a week or however often it is. But this is something that you can wear for about a week and stimulate when you're feeling ready for that. You know, you have such control and access to those regulating points on your ear. And so it's a very powerful tool, whether you're pregnant or just experiencing any kind of unrest in your body.
So say if I have a specific issue, like, I don't know, digestion, or if I'm having like restlessness or insomnia or something, I would tell you that those are my issues. And then you would put them on those specific spots and then I could just press them.
Yeah. Or if we were face to face, I would also take your pulses. I would also ask to look at your tongue. These are all different diagnostic tools in Chinese medicine. So you would tell me what you're experiencing, and then I would get a good sense of your constitution and your baseline by checking in with these other systems. And then I would apply the little seeds to your ear. And sometimes I do two or three on one ear and then a different set of two or three on the other. So you can have something different going on it on each ear. And then you can stimulate them. I usually recommend first thing in the morning, just waking up before you say hello to anybody or before you even put your feet on the ground, just spending a couple moments breathing and putting pressure on your ear seeds, again, to set the tone for your day, to really lead with intention. You know, if you're working on your digestion, if you're working on your sleep, just checking in with yourself and using that moment to kind of punctuate that that's where you want your energy to go today. And then doing that same thing right before you go to sleep, and maybe at some other transitions during the day. And if you don't have the opportunity to work with an acupuncturist, I have ear seeding kits that are available. And with those, I just spell out the 10 points that I use most often in my clinical practice. And so those are points to calm your spirit, points for digestion, for sleep, for hormones, for adrenal exhaustion, things like that. And then you can just apply them yourself. And, you know, it's subtle. It's a subtle medicine, but it's still really intentional and effective. And I get incredible results with ear seeds all the time because it's something that people can use throughout the day, every day. You don't have to wait for your acupuncture appointment to roll around.
Right. Yeah. And again, they look cute. They look like little, like, yeah, I have seen them. A few piercings on each ear. And then when I like add those, I'm like, ooh, I got a cute little like lineup going on.
Yeah. No, it's really rare if I'm wearing ear seeds, which is almost all the time. And if I ever have my hair up in a bun or a ponytail, it's really rare that someone doesn't stop me and they're like, wait, how did you get your ear pierced there?
That's yeah. That's right. Cool. So dainty.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So most of the women within our community and that, you know, listen to this podcast and are also, of course, members of our Little Honey Money registry platform, they're pregnant, they're trying to get pregnant, or they might have just had a baby. You mentioned something earlier when we talked about like your focus of your practice at the zero to the fourth trimester. I'd love for you to share a little more about like what women would expect, or like at what point they're coming to you during pregnancy, like really just honing into that. And then also something you brought up about in prior conversations, which is about like your yin and yang concept. I'd love to really just get into like acupuncture for pregnancy or the zero to fourth, whatever that breaks down to.
Yeah. So I'll start with the latter part of your question, because I think that's just so significant, you know, moving from the yin to the yang, or in this case, the opposite, the yang to the yin.
To the yang. I always say yang. Thanks for...
I thought it was yang.
Yeah, yang.
Thanks for clarifying.
Tomato, tomato, you know. Yeah. But, you know, so the yang energy is more associated with kind of quote unquote masculine energy. It's the energy of the sun. So it's that energy of communicating, decision-making, working, functioning. It's that drive and that fire and that heat that we need for libido, for digestion, basically all the things that happen during the daylight hours, right? And then there's that beautiful yin energy, which is, again, quote unquote, feminine. We all have both in varying degrees, but the feminine energy is more associated with the energy of the moon. And so what happens during the moonlit hours? Ideally, we're resting, we're sleeping, we're replenishing our energy stores. And so what I find is, as Western women that work and are dynamic and social and, you know, all the things, we really operate for a very long time in that yang space. And it's a space of doing and going and planning. And pregnancy is really an opportunity to slow down, because what really needs to happen in postpartum is a strong embrace of that yin energy, of just quieting down, getting really clear on your instincts and intuition, and not spending so much energy kind of outward, but instead like bringing it back in, because oftentimes there's a lot of depletion going on. And it's just a time to like make your world much smaller. It's about you and your baby and your family. And so at every point of working with women, I'm kind of driving that message home, because it's such a big transition. It's such a big shift from not having children to having children, that I really try to lay that foundation. I try in my acupuncture treatments, not just to talk about the like topical things that are going on, which are also very important if somebody's coming in with acid reflux or hemorrhoids or nausea or whatever it is, it's important to address that. But what my patients also get is a real sensitivity and like tuning into the bigger picture of like how this transition is going to affect their lives and how they can best prepare for that. So yeah, we're spending a lot of time in session talking about and preparing for that transition of the yang to the yin, the maiden to the mother, and how that breaks down per trimester. So what I call the zero trimester is just that time of conscious conception. For a lot of women, it's just beginning to understand when they can get pregnant, how to monitor their bodies to understand when they're ovulating. If they're having trouble with a regular period, we make sure to regulate that. I'm very passionate about food and diet. And so we spend a lot of time talking about, you know, what that individual's constitution needs, what it needs more of, what it needs less of, what needs to be avoided, and how to really prepare the body for easy conception. And then in the first trimester, like you were saying, Erica, there's some nausea, there's some morning sickness. Sometimes there's just a lot of anxiety until some of those initial tests come back. And so that's the energy that we're working with in the first trimester. And also just trying to lift the energy. I spend a lot of time also just talking about how important it is up until about 37 weeks to have a treatment plan that involves lifting the energy. For some women, that means they're just completely lethargic and exhausted. So it means boosting their energy. For some women, hormones can make them a little blue or just, you know, feeling a little off. So it can be kind of lifting their spirits in that respect.
I love that, because I remember when I was pregnant, it was always like, the baby can feel your mood, your baby can feel your energy, right? So it's like being mindful of where you are that day, and not that you can't have a bad day or, you know, be upset, like that's normal, but it's just nice to have like an overall lifted baseline, I think.
Yeah. And also just having a place for women to know that that's normal, having space to talk with patients about that. Because if you have an OB appointment once a month and it's, you know, 15 minutes or best case scenario, even 30 minutes, you don't really get into some of these more kind of vulnerable, sensitive aspects of your mood or your spirit.
That's what I was thinking while you're speaking, because I've been to acupuncture before pregnancy. And I love that it feels like you create the space to really talk to the women and hear more about them. And maybe it brings back to what inspired you to start this practice with that intake form that acupuncturists have given you, like going beyond just, you know, oh, I have digestion issues. Like, okay, well, what are you eating? How are you sleeping? Like so many things just beyond just like the one issue they came in for, because our body works just so holistically. And I love that. But I also, for people who don't even know what acupuncture is, I know they know the little needles are going into your body, but like, what is it doing? Like, what is happening in the body when you're doing all this?
Great question. so hard to describe, but at its core, acupuncture is about circulation. And so there can be two opposing energies that can get in the way of our flow. If there's a depletion of energy, then blood, oxygen, qi, which is our life force, which is our like energy, can't circulate through the body uniformly. It can't get to where it needs to go so that all aspects of your body are nourished, not just the organs, but also the joints, your spirit, your head, your mental state. So having too much energy moving and being in excess isn't creating that homeostasis that we all crave, that we all operate best under, and having too little also isn't ideal. So acupuncture with these carefully placed needles can direct the energy to and away from places that it needs to go to really create that homeostasis that we all thrive within. So that's the general answer. But of course, every practitioner practices a little bit differently. And my practice is really about, obviously, you know, inserting the needles and making sure that those are selected and edited really carefully, but also just about giving women space to feel very comfortable, to ask all the questions that maybe they don't know where else to turn to, and to be seen as whole individuals where they're not just a sum of all of their parts. And this is where we just talk about pregnancy, and this is where we just talk about stress. And go to your therapist for this and go to your cardiologist for that and your sleep specialist. It's really a place that I offer to just share whatever is on your heart, whatever is going on in your body. I always emphasize that the body is always trying to communicate with you, and it's our opportunity to listen. So all of these imbalances usually have a root in something that we just need to tap into. And getting the body back to its baseline, where we're not just operating by putting one foot in front of the other and adrenaline and cortisol and just showing up for all the appointments and all the things, really having an opportunity to slow down and to listen to what it is our bodies need, that is medicinal. That is so healing. And then from there, we can take action steps to figure out like, oh, I do need to maybe take this supplement or take this herbal formula or change my diet or change my boundaries or change my relationships or make more time for myself or have better sleep hygiene. I mean, and the list goes on, but I try to create a very safe space so that women can understand themselves as well as possible.
And how long are your sessions typically with your patients?
So pretty typical, I'd say the first session is about 90 minutes. We spend about 45 minutes just doing a really deep dive into medical history and chief concerns and just getting to know the patient and building that trust. And then the acupuncture, you know, then I put in the needles and all that. And then I usually leave a patient with the needles for about 30 minutes. The classic texts say that for one cycle of qi to circulate through the whole body is 28.8 minutes. So
acupuncture sessions are like a solid nap for me.
Oh yeah. It's an acu nap.
Yeah. The last time I did it, I couldn't relax. Actually, it was a while ago. I remember the first time I did it, she left the room and I almost felt like I was laying on my back. This was actually, I was doing acupuncture for infertility, but I remember like I felt through my body something happening and almost my like anxiety took over to just let it happen of being like, what's happening to me? Like I felt this energy shift. And I also couldn't move because she leaves you. You're just like, yeah, you're like on your back and in like there. This like small room. And I'm like, hello, here. I think she left me a bell, but you know, I think I'm getting better. I've done it a couple times in between, but I was doing it more for a shoulder issue, but Erica has been a longtime friend of mine. Katya, if you didn't know, but she of course had two babies before me. I'm now pregnant. So she's kind of been like my like go-to for like, what are all the things you did? Because I feel like her pregnancy and her birth are like goals.
Hey, it's Erica, and I want to share a quick backstory. When I was pregnant with my first baby, I spent so much time trying to find all the best things for my baby. There are just so many things out there for newborns, and it was really hard to know what we would actually need. But when my baby arrived, I was surprised to find that I really didn't need to spend that much time obsessing over the products for her and for the nursery. I actually needed stuff too. And really, it was the care and the support that we had around our family that made the biggest difference to us. Once I knew this, I was a lot more focused on my own health and the care services for my family. I'm talking about things like doulas, baby nurses, acupuncture, meal deliveries, lactation specialists, fitness classes, and the list goes on. Those were the things that made my new motherhood experience more enriched every day. And honestly, the better off I was, the more my entire family benefited from it. So when I was pregnant with my second baby, I really wanted to find a baby registry that helped me prioritize those things in addition to what I needed for my baby. I just couldn't find one. And I've now talked to hundreds of other moms who have found themselves in that same boat. And that's why I set out to create a new kind of baby registry that challenges the way we shower new moms with gifts, because I'm convinced there's a better way to give them what they really need. And it starts with putting the mother first. So here you go, the baby registry that I was looking for. Little Honey Money. It's here, it's live, and it's ready to help you get what you need when you need it. Check us out at littlehoneymoney.com. But for now, let's get back to our episode.
And so I think we left off of you talking about the second trimester, but tell me, so, you know, I'm 7 months. Will and can acupuncture help prep my body for birth, and in what ways? And I'd love to hear about that because I'm thinking about starting that soon.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. So second trimester, I usually just tell women to contact me as needed, because usually the second trimester is everybody's heyday. Your body hasn't changed so much that it's feeling cumbersome yet.
Is third trimester 8, 9, 10? Am I my third trimester or my second?
After 28 weeks.
So I hit 28 weeks on Monday. Okay. So after next week.
Well, that's so after next week. Yeah. So okay. Then in the third trimester, I would say having an outstanding weekly acupuncture appointment is incredible, because that is usually when your body starts feeling the weight of the baby and the pregnancy. And it's where a lot of the ailments that are so common to pregnancy start showing up. So things like hemorrhoids, things like backaches, things like acid reflux. So acupuncture can really prevent a lot of that stuff. And if it's already started, then it can help to neutralize it and just keep it from getting much worse. And then with a lot of my patients and with myself also, around the third trimester is where it started to feel very real, and some concerns about what labor and delivery were going to go.
Like. Oh yeah.
Just, you know, all of the unknowns.
Concerning plan.
So, the acupuncture can be really useful for calming your mind and just connecting with your baby, moving some of that fear aside. Well, first acknowledging it and then moving it aside, and then just really trying to savor these last couple of weeks where you and your baby are still connected that way. And then around 37 weeks, I recommend patients come in. And then everything that I said before about that lifting treatment, mm-hmm. I reverse. And then it's really just about descending the energy in the body as much as possible. So every organ has a direction the energy is meant to flow in. And so I use a lot of the points that help the energy to descend, making sure that that is the treatment plan over and over and over again. And so for a lot of women, they notice there's a lot more movement in their bellies during treatment, mm-hmm. even for several days after. Maybe their bowel movements are increasing. They're feeling the baby dropping. There's just a lot of activity. And it's just a wonderful way to support what the body is already naturally doing, but kind of giving it that little like nudge to help do it as efficiently as possible.
And you said at 37 weeks, it's ideal if somebody can come in every week.
Starting at the third trimester, having a standing weekly appointment is ideal, but it's especially beneficial as you get closer to labor. So it's never a bad time to start. Like, I constantly get messages from women that are like, I'm 41 weeks pregnant. I'm being induced on Wednesday. Should I come in for a session?
Yeah.
And, you know, I wish that woman would have contacted me.
Right.
Two or three months prior, but it's never a bad idea to come in. I mean, even to that woman, I would say, sure, come in. It can absolutely do no harm. And just resetting the nervous system at that stage of pregnancy so that the focus isn't on the time, the day, the consequences, the fears, and the focus is really just on tapping into what's naturally occurring and what you're capable of and the strength that's within mm-hmm. and the peace of mind of just knowing that this is going to happen. That shift mentally and spiritually is so powerful that that can really set off a cascade of all the powerful hormones, the endorphins, the oxytocin. It can drop the cortisol, all the things that are necessary to really start the process of labor and delivery. So to that woman, I would say, like, absolutely come in.
Right.
Find an acupuncturist. And especially if it's someone that has more of a focus on that mental, emotional piece, because not all acupuncturists prioritize that. I'm just the acupuncturist that I would want for myself, where there's, you know, focus on that in addition to all the physical stuff.
Right. And if you're in LA, she does house calls, which is exciting.
Oh, I'm so big on house calls.
I was going to say, because at 41 weeks, I couldn't even imagine like being like, I'm going to drive down to your place today. I feel like yeah. Please just come to me.
Well, especially postpartum, right? Like it's really hard to make time to go get in the car in Los Angeles and like carve out, you know, that whole time. So you have a new baby, you have a lot of new stuff going on. Like I'm so big on everything coming to the mom.
Right.
Yeah.
When she's in that little window.
It's the biggest luxury and it's such a great gift to give yourself, especially in those early days where you're not sure about your baby's feeding schedule. You're not sure, you know, how confident you are in anyone else to keep this little person alive. You want to be there. And it just feels unsettling, at least for me, that early on to be away for more than like an hour or two.
Trying to like go. And all you're thinking about is like how many minutes till you're back with your baby.
Yeah, exactly. And I just prioritize peace of mind over absolutely everything else right now. How can you even enjoy your acupuncture treatment fully or whatever experience you have for yourself?
If you're feeling rushed or feeling like your mind somewhere else.
If you're not present, if your mind and your heart are elsewhere.
Well, and also like if you're breastfeeding, like your boobs are getting bigger by the minute. It's uncomfortable even physically at that point.
Yeah. And then postpartum, that's what acupuncture can really help regulate also. You know, just milk supply. If you feel like you're overproducing and you can't go too long without your boobs just getting so big and so uncomfortable and painful. But then the opposite is true also. If you're not able to produce enough breast milk, acupuncture can be really useful. Again, bringing circulation to the breast, making sure that all of that is happening in the most kind of moderate, balanced way so that it's not too much, it's not too little. It's in line with the Tao.
It's amazing. Do you ever do couples acupuncture postpartum? I'm assuming that was the zero to four. So we're in four at fourth trimester. So the baby's home, the mom's tired. I love that you're able to help with all those things, but do we ever do it for couples?
Sometimes. I mean, that's not usually the norm, but sometimes. And I've also had some really sweet partners that drop their wives or partners off to the acupuncture treatment and they're just hanging out waiting. Sometimes the baby's there too. So yeah, I will sometimes pop a couple needles into the dad because he's going through a ton as well, or the partner.
When I was pregnant, we talked about this, that I did a lot of acupuncture, and I can tell you that the benefits were like mental, physical, all of it, like throughout pregnancy through postpartum. And I just want to say, like, my doula was the one who was like, start as early as possible and keep it going, because I didn't just come with the idea of like, I had done it before, but I didn't, you know, there's so many question marks during pregnancy. Like, can I do this? Should I? Whatever. And my doula was the one that was like, please do it the whole way through.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Some of my greatest referrals come from doulas in LA because they have seen how powerful it is for their clients and at all stages of pregnancy, like we talked about, but especially to initiate labor and make sure that that's going as smoothly as possible. And then, of course, to support women postpartum.
If you were pregnant today and you were registered on Little Honey Money, what wellness services, obviously aside from acupuncture, would you add to your registry? What are the Katya must-haves?
I wish Little Honey Money was available when I was pregnant, because I would absolutely register for things so differently than what I registered for, which was tons of like baby clothes and, you know, this specific bottle and these beautiful things for the nursery. And all that stuff is so wonderful and important. I'm so grateful for all the gifts that I got. But what I didn't get enough of was just like support for me, you know, like the babies will always have more than they need. The babies will always get the attention and the love and the support and the things. But making sure that a new mom has meals prepared for her, like nourishing, delicious meals that she's excited about. I think that is so fundamental to health and to well-being and to just joy. So I would absolutely register for a postpartum meal service or someone to come and make food for me and for the family. I would also love to register for Abhyanga massages. Those are those Ayurvedic massages.
That? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They are the best. Ayurvedic massages with warm oil. Mm-hmm. Someone comes to your house and it's so much oil. It's hard to believe that like that much oil is going to get you, but it does. And it just all feels so luxurious.
It's nourishing. So calming
to the nervous system. I'm all about calming the nervous system.
No, I love those. I was getting them at a place in Venice actually called Den Mother. And I love them, but they wouldn't see me my first trimester. And I showed up to like, oh, sorry, we can't see you. So I'm actually, you reminded me, I'm due to go back. So they're going to give me like 50% off for coming and not being able to take me. But I'm excited. Cool. Yeah, you're right. I've been thinking about that, like warm, just, it's so luxurious. You just feel like, I know my whole body was just rubbed, like everything all over me, like your hair, my face. Usually I'm such a stickler, but like, please don't get oil on my face or in my hair. And that you're just like, you do not care. You're just so free.
I was the same way. I'm usually like, no, not the hair, not the hair.
Yeah.
But in this case, I was like all the oil, all over everything.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I'd say those two things.
And do you feel like, because you said, you know, 8 to 10 years ago, that's when you had your babies. Has it changed in terms of like when you see more focus on maternal health and support when you were having babies compared to now?
Oh, it's absolutely changed. And I love the direction that we're moving in because it's so essential. And like I said, like I wish all this awareness was as mainstream 10 years ago as it is now. And that's across the board from how to normalize infertility and how to talk about loss and also how to move through a pregnancy with a really solid support team. Same with postpartum. So in every area, I think that awareness has been key and in large part to groups and women like you, right? I mean, like this podcast and your website, all of that is helping to prepare women for what I think is the biggest transition of life. When I was first pregnant, I remember so many people asking me when I hired a doula, like, why do you need a doula or what does a doula do? Like, even that just wasn't considered mainstream. Mm-hmm. People were asking me all the time, like, oh, acupuncture helps with pregnancy. Oh, acupuncture. Like now the women that come see me in my practice, they just peed on a stick and they already have a night nurse. They already have a birth plan. They have a whole team. They're seeing me, but they're also seeing maybe a therapist who specializes in fertility matters. They're already seeing a chiropractor, a pelvic floor specialist. It's incredible to see how much support is out there and how women are making time and making themselves available to receive all of that support.
I love that. And so much of like what Little Honey Money is like, we're trying to be a hub for that. Like we know we all want to do it. We all need it. But
where do you start?
At the end of the day, like it all costs money. So you have to be able to prioritize that you like want to spend money or have money or, you know, find money to do these things. And when we look at the amount of gifts and how much people are getting dollar wise in their gifts that they're accumulating before the baby comes, like if you ask a woman at her heart of hearts, like, what does she want? What does she feel? Or like, you know, what does she want? She wants like a good experience. Does she want to bond with her baby? Like, what does she want? And
I want sleep.
Yes.
Joe, you want sleep? Okay. So like, how do we get you sleep?
Night nanny. Exactly. Check. Like first thing I heard was a night nurse. Like that, you know, that was, once I was pregnant, I was like, okay, great. Got to start interviewing. I probably interviewed like, I don't know, 25, all referrals from friends. But no, I knew like in the meet, I was like, okay, I own my own business. Like I need to prioritize sleep. I'm so nervous. But like that to me is like my like happy place, being able to get a good night's sleep. So, but they're not cheap, you know?
Yeah, and well, it's, I always say like the matriarch really sets the tone for the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you wake up in the morning feeling rested, I mean, ask my kids, they know when I'm well rested, the vibe in the morning, it's like I'm just pulling out all the stops on the breakfast. There's music playing. All the windows and doors are open. It's just like it feels different because I'm showing up resourced. I'm showing up excited, ready to greet the day. I mean, I'm just like smushing them and kissing them and just all over them. And when I'm not feeling as resourced, if I didn't sleep well, or if I just haven't looked after myself or made time for myself, you know, then I'm just putting one foot in front of the other and like checking things off the box. And the vibe is so different.
My kids are probably scared of me when I'm on very little sleep. I know my husband is.
Same. You should have like mom Same. Signs, something we'd wear around our neck or something, being like, don't, no, I did not sleep well last night.
Yeah. What's truly important for the kids and for the whole family, I think, is just that sense of being in a loving home where just the energy is so positive. And that's not going to come from like all the things in the baby's closet or all the things in the nursery. I mean, sure that it's like so delightful to have things that you love and that are beautiful all around. And that's a different kind of medicine for sure. But I think so much of it starts with just the mother showing up, feeling her best. And I also want to say that's not possible all the time. We're not expecting to just show up every morning, you know, incredibly resourced and tapped into our highest selves. That's not realistic either, but doing what we can to set ourselves up for making that as often a possibility as possible. And so it's amazing that you've already identified that for you, sleep is number one, and you've already, you know, hired the person and put the plans in place. That's going to be incredible for your whole family. I mean, that is for your baby. That's not just for you.
No, definitely. It was that. And then the next one was my relationship, the way that he can feel involved with our pregnancy and our birth. And that was when I called my doula, or like, you know, Erica recommended, like, you should work with Lori. Like, she really was like such a big support for Jesse, Erica's husband. You know, because I get like guys go into this just like, what can I do? I don't know what I'm doing. Like, how can I help? So I feel like it's helping us connect more and him know how he can be there for me and during the birth and all of those things. So she was like the second call, you know, so he didn't feel so like helpless or just didn't know how to be a part of that journey with me. So yeah, I mean, I feel like if I wasn't a part of Little Honey Money, I don't know if I would have been able to think about those things. I would have probably just been shopping online for all the cute girl outfits that I will end up buying anyway.
Those things will come. That will happen.
Yeah. And there's,
but I feel so much more prepped. I really do. I feel so much more in control of where I'm at with my birth. And I think, I really do think it's Erica / Little Honey Money for the last 2 years, just being a part of this product.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that, Joe. And I love it for you. And then like, you've just taken all of it and kind of made your journey so special in that way.
I'm excited to hear that, like postpartum, we're going to have a follow-up. Just like, right. So here's how all that worked for me.
Yeah.
See how we did.
Yeah. I mean, it's a massive transition for the partners too. And because they're not going through it physically, it can be a little awkward figuring out how they can best be involved. And so it's beautiful that you and your partner are having these conversations and making sure that his needs are met or that he has a place to ask questions. And
a direct line to Lori is key.
Yeah. Our doula is like, he can text anytime.
Yeah. My husband walked into me in active labor at home, like didn't see it coming or know. And he called her and he was like, Lori, what's happening?
And she just puts on her cape and flies over, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Even like where to park at the hospital. I feel like I was worried about that. My husband's very capable, by the way, but I was like, we had another friend whose husband went to, I think Cedars. Cedars so massive. He couldn't figure out where to park. He ended up dropping her off at the front basically by herself and like then finding a way to park the car, then got lost between towers to get to her. I mean, I was just like, oh gosh, that seems like so hectic.
But that really is like a metaphor for motherhood, right, Erica? Like you're just doing everything for the first time and you're also capable. And at the same time, you just haven't done it before. So you don't know. So something like parking can become such a big deal. But then you do it once. And I always say the learning curve with motherhood is so high. You know, you don't know how to change a diaper. You don't know how to wear a baby. You don't know how to do anything the first week. And within 2 weeks, you're a pro. You've done it so many times. And nothing is as daunting as the first time, but
yeah, for sure.
It's a major crash course.
Yeah.
All right. So last question, it's not a trick question, but it's also something that we like to ask because as you know, this whole podcast, everything we've been working on for the last 2.5 years is really in support and for research behind our mother and baby registry called Little Honey Money. And we like to ask our guest, if you were to explain Little Honey Money to a friend, just in a few sentences, what is it? Because it helps me and Erica know that we're doing our job right and really helping people understand what it is we're doing.
Yeah, I love that. So I would say it's a registry for the mom. I love that line that we're all familiar with what a baby registry is, but this is truly about supporting the mother and making sure that she can enjoy pregnancy and postpartum as much as possible by giving her the services and the experiences they're going to support that goal. So just taking the emphasis off the things and on the experiences. That to me is what Little Honey Money stands for and is doing every day.
I love the word experience, you know, helping her with her experience.
Yeah. And then what we talk about a lot is like having the best motherhood journey possible. And it's in your experiences that make that journey the best, right? Like the way you experience it. You know, we see a lot of like motherhood is hard and everything, but we're like seeking joy, aren't we?
Isn't that why we're doing this?
Isn't that a good thing?
Yeah.
And personally speaking, those are the things that brought me the most peace, and peace equals joy and for everyone around me. So I love that.
Yeah. I love what you women are doing. And I just hope more women take advantage of it because it's brilliant. It's really brilliant.
Thank you. Thanks, Katya. That means a lot coming from you. And thank you so much for all of this wisdom that you shared with us today and all of the amazing takeaways that we have today for anybody who's either trying to get pregnant in postpartum, or even just life in general, being a woman. Thank you again for joining us.
Yeah. I'm like, can there be a Little Honey Money just for birthdays and whatnot?
Yeah. Right. Beyond. Yeah.
Yeah.
Working on it. Where can our guests find you?
So my practice is located mid-city in Los Angeles, but I'm also on Instagram, which I don't update often, but I'm working on that. It's spiritgate.la. And my website is spiritgatela.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Katya. Nice to speak with you.
This was such a joy. Thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me share. And Joe, good luck to you.
Thank you so much. I'll be in touch. Got a lot of questions. So. All right. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Hey.
Thank you for listening to the podcast by Little Honey Money. Visit us at www.littlehoneymoney.com and follow along on Instagram @littlehoneymoney.